And my parents start discussing it between themselves, and it's like, well, maybe we should call the police and let them know that some guy is going door to door asking kids what they want for Christmas.
Perhaps the mayor of the town or the council decided they'd hire someone to just walk around and spread some Christmas cheer that Christmas.
I think it was a guy that was in a red suit that had a lot to drink that said, hey, it'd be fun just to go up and down the street pretending to be Santa Claus.
Yeah, I can't imagine the council spending money on it somehow.
That's right. It's like, what? Why spend money on something that a drunk will do for free?
Welcome to You Are the Guest, a weekly show where you can be the guest and tell people what you and your friends and neighbors think about news events and issues of the day. It's part talk show, part opinion poll, part reality show, and a whole lot of fun. And it's completely dependent upon your participation as a guest. To be considered as a guest for a future show, check out the website at www.youaretheguest.com for details. Now here is your program host, Bill Grady.
Greetings from Canberra, the capital city of Australia. I'm Samuel Gordon-Stewart, filling in for Bill Grady, and today our guest is, wait for it, from the city with bright days ahead, Fort Dodge in Iowa. It's the host of You Are the Guest, Bill Grady. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Samuel, and it is wonderful to be on your show slash my show.
It's certainly a change.
Now, here's what I thought we would do for our listeners of You Are the Guest is that last year we had Christmas from Australia with Peter Reddy, and I interviewed him about how Christmas was in Australia. And I thought it would be neat to kind of turn the tables and kind of be on an Australian show.
Yes, it's sort of being simulcast on Samuel's Persiflage in a roundabout sort of way.
That's right. It's this endless circle of knowledge that will be passed on through the cyberspace.
So, what does Christmas mean to you personally, Bill?
Oh, I think it brings back a lot of great memories of some Christmases past, but I think as I get older, I'm less involved in the consumerism than I was in my 20s. I'm 45 right now, and so I guess the thing that really means a lot to me is getting in touch with some old friends during this time and catching up and then also spending time with family. So that's what Christmas means to me.
You mentioned the commercialism of Christmas there, and I suppose in many ways that's actually become part of the Western culture of Christmas, and it almost seems counterproductive having it there at times because, you know, the moment Easter ends, you're pretty much being bombarded with Christmas things and Christmas decorations, it seems. Do you think that the consumerism of Christmas is making some people less interested in Christmas or perhaps more interested in the religious side of Christmas?
Oh, I think they're just two completely different animals. I don't think the consumerism has any connection with religion or vice versa. I think what's interesting from what I've seen here in the States is that the retailers keep starting a little bit earlier each year. And it used to be that there was this unwritten rule that you never talked about Christmas before Halloween, which was October 31st here in the States. And all of a sudden, over the last couple years, the Christmas decorations have been showing up the week of Halloween or the week before, and it's like, okay, I know that Christmas shopping season or the Christmas shopping season is a big retail season, but are we going to get to the point when we start talking about Christmas in September? I hope not, but it just always seems like there will be this upmanship that continues to make retail shopping season come earlier and earlier, and I think that's kind of disturbing.
I suppose here in Australia it's probably very similar to the States. We seem to have the moment Christmas ends, the Easter eggs are out on the shelves, and then the moment Easter ends, we start having a few sales, and there's the sort of mid-year sales, and then not long after that, you start to see Christmas slowly making its way into the stores until, as you say, by September, October, you're starting to see the Christmas decorations go up and the flyers and catalogues going out saying, buy now for Christmas, and it never seems to end.
So what do you think is the catalyst for that in your country?
Well, I think it's just the retailers want to make money. They want to just basically have their promotions going so that, I don't know, maybe they think people will forget that their stores exist if they're not constantly advertising something and associating themselves with some holiday or some event.
I think you're absolutely correct on that. I think that the push to be successful in business, and especially because of the competition, you always have to have something going. Hmm. And especially for the big retailers that have stockholders and they're always trying to push the new fad, or they're trying to push, you know, more sales, more. Well, how do you outdo last year? Well, you outdo it by having, you know, something bigger and better. And where does it end, I guess, is the big question. But the other thing is, do we want it to end? What kind of a black mark would that be on our economy if it did end? Who knows?
It would be a very big hole in the economy, I would think, because Christmas is probably the busiest time of the retail year. Everyone seems to rush in the few weeks leading up to Christmas, get a bunch of presents and rush out again, and then probably rush back because they forgot some presents. So it's certainly a very busy time of the year for all of the retailers.
I know when I worked with retailers when I sold advertising that some of them, for example, jewelers, would have the majority of their business during the Christmas season. So for those type of businesses, the Christmas retail season is very important, but it's in no way connected with religion or spirituality.
Hmm. And that's another interesting thing about Christmas, is that even people who aren't religious still seem to be attracted to the celebration. Why do you think they're so attracted to it?
I think they feel left out if they weren't. Mm. For example, I know of some Jewish families that are here in town that, although they don't celebrate Christmas, they still celebrate the presents and gift giving, and it's just because it is so enveloped in the society and the community that if you don't participate in that in some way, shape, or form, you probably feel left out because you're just in the minority. And I'm sure that maybe other people throughout the country, the Muslims that may experience that, or the Buddhists, or any of the other religions, you know, may just feel overwhelmed by the Christianity of this time of year.
Hmm. I have a few Muslim friends who don't celebrate Christmas as such, but they still do have a special lunch on that day, and they will give each other a couple presents. I mean, they're not going to go overboard like the rest of us might do and put decorations up everywhere and start playing Christmas carols. They just sort of treat it as sort of a festive time of the year for that one day, even though the day itself doesn't mean an awful lot to them. And, of course, there are plenty of cultures who don't celebrate Christmas, and I suppose, therefore, there'd be many parts of the world where those cultures are dominant, and I suppose if we were to go over there and celebrate Christmas, we would be in the minority. Do you think that we are, as a society, as tolerant of those cultures as perhaps we should be?
I don't see us being intolerant, if you want to take the opposite side of that. I don't think that because other people don't celebrate it that we look down upon them or that they're ridiculed or anything like that. I just think that during the holiday season that most people have the association with happiness, or that it's a time to get together, it's a time for celebration. Let me throw another twist in there, because sure, there are a lot of people that are Christians that celebrate it, but also don't feel like celebrating because they've recently have a loss of a loved one, or there is something else going on in their lives that have kind of taken them out of the holiday spirit. So there are other factors other than not being a Christian that may prohibit you from really enjoying the season.
Yeah, that's true. And I'd imagine that it's very hard to be happy and festive and jolly if you have had a tragedy in the family or something along those lines. So I don't know how anyone could really celebrate Christmas like that if that did happen to them.
And the other thing that I've experienced in my life is that I've had friends that have died on or around Christmas Day. As those people have passed on, especially my friends, you know, I guess I remember them, but for the families that go through that many times, obviously, especially if somebody has passed on Christmas Day, you know, they always have that reminder that Christmas Day is also the anniversary of that person's passing. And so that can really give somebody a damper for the holiday season, and it's probably something that never goes away.
Mm. Well, I know that for a lot of people here in Australia, Christmas Day has those sort of connotations because of Cyclone Tracy, which went through Darwin on Christmas Day quite a few years ago now, but nonetheless, it's still something that's very fresh in a lot of people's minds, and I would imagine it would be even more vivid on Christmas Day, and probably not a very, very happy day for them. I don't know quite how you move on from that, or if you move on from that at all, but it is obviously any particular day of the year can have difficult meanings for you, but I suppose to some extent it can be harder if it is on Christmas Day because there's almost a peer pressure on you to be happy and jolly.
Absolutely, and especially if everybody is around you and they're just kind of casually asking you all the questions such as, you know, what are you doing for Christmas? You know, oh, you know, how come you're not happy? And and it can be very tough for people that just aren't in the holiday season because maybe they're missing a loved one.
Hmm. Well, do you have a story you could share with us about Christmas?
Like a funny story or a serious story or something like that?
We might go with a funny story.
Okay. I have a serious story, too. And,
well, we could do that one, too, I suppose.
I remember as a kid that maybe I was like 6 or 7 years old, and the doorbell rang, and I went to the door, and there was Santa Claus. And Santa Claus was on my doorstep, and he was asking me what I wanted for Christmas. And it was probably, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And he's asking these questions, and my mom or my dad, I can't remember which one, kind of called out to me and said, you know, who are you talking to? And I said, I'm talking to Santa Claus, and he's asking me what I want for Christmas. And so I'm going on, and he asked me a couple more questions, and then he goes on down the road, and I close the door. And my parents start discussing it between themselves, and it's like, well, maybe we should call the police and let them know that some guy is going door to door asking kids what they want for Christmas. And I'm sure out of concern they didn't know if he was, you know, drunk or if he was a burglar or he was just a guy that's just kind of going door to door. But
all the things that would run through your mind in that situation.
That's right. But as a kid, I'm thinking, hey, you know what? Santa Claus. Don't call the cops on Santa Claus because he won't bring me anything. And so they called the cops and, like, you know, and the police came out. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm screwed. They called the cops on Santa. He's not going to bring me anything. And, of course, as you get older, you realize that it was probably just some drunk guy, you know, just making the rounds. So.
Well, perhaps the mayor of the town or the council decided they'd hire someone to just walk around and spread some Christmas cheer that Christmas.
I don't think so. I think it was a guy that was in a red suit that had a lot to drink that said, hey, it'd be fun just to go up and down the street pretending to be Santa Claus.
Yeah, I can't imagine the council spending money on it somehow.
That's right. It's like, why spend money on something that a drunk will do for free?
That sounds like a very good policy. I'm going to wait to Well, I'll give that a few weeks, and I bet I'll hear a politician say that now.
That's right. Hey, kids, you know what? If you really want a great experience around Christmas, come over down to Bob's Bar and, you know, visit with Santa. He's had a few beers, and he'll promise you anything.
So you also had a serious story.
Well, one of the things that I remember, especially as a high school kid, was that I was in the choir, and what we used to do is we used to go to, like, the nursing homes, and we would sing carols for the nursing home residents. And it was one of the first experiences that I remember that said, you know, not everybody is at home spending Christmas with their family, and some people have a lot of problems. And so I remember that as a very eye-opening experience of saying that, you know, other people aren't as well off as you are because they're not spending their Christmases with their family and everything. And instead of getting really sad and depressed about it, I just decided that during that time I was there that I was going to talk to as many people as I could after we got done caroling, because I would think that they would want a conversation. And I was amazed at how many people I could make smile, that I could kind of light up, and if anything, they kind of maybe perked up for a few minutes. But that's one of those serious things that I remember about Christmas, is that if you reach out to people, especially for those people that are having a hard time during the Christmas season, that they really do appreciate that.
My godparents they work in community care, and so each Christmas they put together a big lunch, and a lot of their friends come together and help them out with the lunch, and they pretty much invite all of the people they help out in community care who don't have anyone else to share Christmas with. They all come together, and it's, I'd say, probably 40 or 50 people all gather there for a big Christmas lunch, and, you know, everyone gets to meet people they probably met last year or people they might not have met before, and everyone seems to have a good time. So it is nice, one of the nice things about Christmas, that people can get together and share time with each other that they generally, well, people they wouldn't normally meet, and people they might not, if they met in the street normally, they might not even talk to.
And I think that is wonderful to hear about. And if everybody could do something nice just to one person, make their day a little bit better over a period of time, then you really made an influence to a lot of people.
All right. Well, one of the regular features of You Are the Guest is Ask Bill 3, but seeing as Bill is away today, we'll play Ask Samuel 3. Would you like to ask me some questions, Bill?
Absolutely. Tell me about one of your family traditions during the Christmas season.
Well, I suppose really our biggest tradition is just that lunch with my godparents, helping out with that. But seeing as we've already discussed that, I'll try and find something else. There's a few other things we do. I mean, nothing particularly special. It's just each year we do the whole leaving milk and cookies out for Santa. And actually, one thing we do every year is the night before Christmas, on the television here, there's actually a Carols by Candlelight program. So each year we make sure that we're all around to be able to watch that and to sort of sing along with the carols, and we'll turn the lights off and turn the Christmas tree lights on so the room sort of flashes a bit, but it's a good time of the year. And actually we also have some Christmas bells hanging up just near the kitchen, which play the various Christmas carols, so on the Christmas morning we'll always have that turned on.
Are you ready for question number two?
I am, Bill.
For those people around the world that do not celebrate Christmas because of a different religion or a different belief or the fact that they don't get the whole Christmas thing, what do you think are their misconceptions about Christmas?
Well, I think that for, especially for those who are of a different religion in a different part of the world, and I won't pick on any particular part of the world here, but I think there, they probably see it primarily as a very Christian thing. Now, those the people of that religion who happen to be in a country like the US or Australia where Christmas is a very big celebration, they probably don't have that misconception, and perhaps to them they just see it as an overly commercialized thing. I think it varies for depending on the circumstances. What's question number three?
Question number three is actually a New Year's question.
Okay.
So looking ahead to 2007, what thing or what policy do you think needs to be changed for Australia to be a better, stronger country in the years ahead?
Well, I think we've had one thing very recently which has, at the very least, made the politics of the country stronger. The main opposition party have had a bit of a leadership coup, and they've now got a leader who seems to actually have some policies and be able to talk about issues without sounding like he's just repeating the stuff he said yesterday. So I think that we have a strong opposition now, which means there's something viable there. We've had a majority conservative government for, since the last election. So I think looking ahead now, people are actually seeing that there is a viable alternative here, and who knows, it may be in the next election, which in fact is next year, the people will vote for the alternative government, which for the last, I don't know, probably the last decade, we really haven't had a strong opposition. So it's good to finally see that, and I think that's going to help the country a lot, because even though it has been a majority conservative government, it's quite clear that an awful lot of people in the country don't actually like the government. They just voted for them because they really didn't think the opposition could pull it off. So I think that's one thing that's already happened, but it's really, I think that's one of the biggest things that can help this country going forward. I think one thing that might help US-Australia relations is the current David Hicks saga. I don't know if you hear much about that in the US, but...
No, tell me about that.
Okay.
I'd like to learn about that.
All right. David Hicks, I'm just trying to think, it was back 3-4 years ago, was caught by the US and has been locked up in Guantanamo Bay ever since. Apparently for being associated with terrorism. Now, charges have never been laid against him. He's currently, I think, a lot of people in Australia would actually like to see him tried in Australia, because at this time, I don't think many people here have much faith in the US justice system to deliver David Hicks justice. I think the general feeling here is that if a charge could have been brought against him, it would have been done by now. They just don't see any good reason why he's been sitting there for 3 or 4 years without a charge being laid against him. And, I mean, we all know that it does take time sometimes for justice systems to kick into gear and to go through a trial, but...
Does he have a history record of antisocial behavior or terrorism in your country?
No. All that we really know is that he sort of went abroad and sort of was vaguely associated with... I can't remember which terrorist group he was associated with. I think it might have been Al-Qaeda, but don't quote me on that. But in general, he wasn't really helping to plan anything. He wasn't... It's sort of a mystery in what way he was associated with the terrorist group. We just sort of know that he didn't really have any influence on it. And for the sort of details that we have, we most people in Australia just don't see how he could have been locked up for so long without a charge being laid against him. So I think that if the US and Australia can work together and work that out, then I think that's going to help the US and Australia get along in the years to come.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that seems a little odd that for some reason there's no charges being brought. I understand that in the terrorism camps that there are some very bad people. And I don't think
anyone denies that.
Yeah, right. But at the same time, you have to justify it or you have to quantify it, and you should be able to do that within 3 years.
Yes, you would certainly think so. I mean, if the police were to arrest someone here and lock them up and didn't charge them and kept them in a cell for 3 years, I think there'd be a very, very large public outcry. And in fact, there are laws against it, so it does make you wonder.
Samuel, thank you so much for being our first guest host on You Are the Guest. Do you want to tell about how people can tune into your podcast and hear all about what's going on in Australia?
Yeah, my podcast is Samuel's Persiflage, which is on the web at samuelgordonstewart.com/Samuel's Persiflage. Perhaps you should just follow the link from Bill's website. Alternatively, if you type my name into Google or something that remotely resembles my name, it should come up. It usually does. That's pretty much the way. If you have some feedback you want to send to me, you could either send it through Bill or either you could send it to me directly, podcast@samuelgordonstewart.com. It's been an interesting experience interviewing you because I don't know if listeners to this show are aware at this stage, but we've sort of done a double act here. There have been bits of this interview which have been for Bill's show only, and bits which have been for my show only, and bits of which have been for both shows. We've sort of done a roundabout simulcast, so in one way or another, this interview is also Bill's Christmas episode, which it's going to be fascinating to hear just how that does come out.
And thank you so much for the invitation, Samuel, and I always enjoy talking with you, and let's do this again sometime soon. And Merry Christmas!
Hi, my name is Jack Shanahan, retired Vice Admiral, U.S. Navy. I believe we can improve education in America without compromising our national security. To illustrate my point, I have some BBs here. Imagine each BB is a nuclear bomb. One could destroy Hiroshima 15 times over. 5 wipes out all of Russia. Now, after using those 6 bombs, this is how many the U.S. has left. By reducing our nuclear weapons, we could save billions of dollars. That money could be educating our kids. Let's get the politicians to talk about the real issues. Call 1-877-IOWA-MOM.
Remember that you can listen to the show every day at CoolCast Radio. And of course, we always appreciate your subscriptions at iTunes and Yahoo Podcasts. That concludes this week's edition of You Are the Guest from the great city of Fort Dodge, Iowa. I'm Bill Grady. Thanks for listening.